Hello there, you are listening to the Kingdom Living Podcast, where we talk about faith, purpose, and societal issues from a kingdom perspective. If you are joining us for the first time, we welcome you wholeheartedly. And if you've been following us, listening to the Kingdom Living Podcast, we are glad that you're joining us again. We are starting with the second season of Chosen Gen, which is a great beginning. And we thank God for His grace, for giving us the grace to come again and discuss with people, inspiring souls, inspiring guests that talk about how they live their life with God. And this season is based on 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 that says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." We will be having inspiring guests who will be talking about how they reconcile mankind to God through their platforms and gifts. The ministry of reconciliation is one to which we have been called to as followers of Christ. Certainly, it's not always easy. Hence, our guests will also be talking about how they began, the challenges they've been facing, and how the Holy Spirit of God has helped them thus far. We have a very special guest with us today. I have met her once and have since then been fascinated by her work and her walk with God, how dedicated she is, committed to serving God. She has authored 2 books, and I will leave her to present herself. Welcome, Ethel.
Thank you, sir. My name is Ethel. How do I describe myself? I'm just a common girl, like everyone around the corner, that God has chosen to work with. I have a book called Gracefully Broken. That's how I would introduce myself. Just a simple person.
Amen, amen. A simple person with a great God. That is it. Thank you so much for accepting. Thanks so much for accepting our invitation. And we really feel honored to have you in the season. And just to start with, when did you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And how?
The thing is, I've been thinking about this for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But one thing I personally love doing.
Yes.
Is I reconcile myself daily back to God. I'm sure that everyone will be thinking, why? Because I'm someone who believes that daily there are new things that you come across to. And if you don't rededicate yourself to God, that He's your Lord and your personal Savior, you might take control of yourself. And so that's how I end up giving myself back to God on a daily basis and declaring that He's Lord and personal over my life, meaning over sicknesses, over my health, for example, over my daily go-to-go life.
Amen.
Because, I think it's something we always take as ignorance.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I grew up in church. You know when you just grow in it and then it just flows.
Yes.
But I would personally say that I think it was 2010 where I became very anxious with guys, because you know when we are kids, we just go with the flow, like I said.
Yes.
But it comes to a point where you're like, no, I want to know this person.
Amen.
Like, who is he? So 2010 was the first time I became very anxious of who Jesus is. And I just wanted to know Him, like know Him in a personal space. That's why your question said, when did you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Like, I mean, He's been Lord of our lives for years. But it gets to a point where you're like, I want to know this person personally, you know?
Amen. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you. And while you were speaking, you said that actually this is what you do every single day. You give yourself back to God, to Christ.
Yeah.
And then it is, again, for as you describe it, it's a reconciling to God. So what do you understand by the ministry of reconciliation then? And what does it mean that we are reconciled to God?
I'll try to put it in a very simple way of my understanding. I see conciliation as a very big puzzle. You know, when you're putting a puzzle together and then you have this missing spaces, you go ahead and look for that piece of the puzzle to get a full picture of it. And that's how I see, or that's how I understand reconciliation, like bringing back something which was separated or pulling apart back to its normal place or back to its original space. So that's how I understand, and that's how I will see reconciliation, as in me or you being separated from someone and you being rejoined with that person, you know? Because we go through life and we have hardship and other things, but the word of God says, behold, all things are new. Meaning, if I'm reconciled back to God, meaning I have the ability to behold, I have the ability to see all the good things I have missed, and now being able to have it in abundance.
Amen, amen. That you just give us an image, which is the puzzle. A missing part, right? Like we have missing pieces, and then you put that missing pieces into the normal place supposed it belongs, it fits. And this is us reconciling to God. So we belong to God. And if we are without God, we are like, there is this missing space in us that needs to receive God. And this is how I have understood what the image you just gave us. And that is a fantastic image. And you also said that it is us, you know, when we are being apart, when we are separated, it's also similar to brokenness. Because it means that something is missing. If we are broken, it means something is missing. Your book is about gracefully broken. How can you be gracefully broken? And what does it mean to reconcile broken people to God?
So how is it to be broken and gracefully? So being broken is a normal thing, because on our everyday life, we walk through people that are not very intentional. About emotions, about feeling, and they just end up hurting us. Sometimes it's also God disciplining us, being like, my child, come back to a normal place. And this is how I see it. It's just like in the beginning of Genesis, the Bible tells us the earth was filled with void and it was empty, it was dark, and then God spoke. It was like, let's come to your normal place. Even though you seem broken right now, it's an awakening for me. Maybe I put you at that place. Or when we see, or when we read the story of Hannah, right, we see that she was very broken. But the word of God tells us that, like, in her space where she was, that God intentionally put her there. So being gracefully broken, sometimes it comes from people, sometimes it comes from God, sometimes. But you can either take it as the man at the pool who was sitting there, who was not anxious of what he was dealing with, or you can just decide to sit there and be pity partied, or you can decide that God will, and you hand it over to God. The title, gracefully, I chose that because, like, when God deals with her, as sometimes we think that is in a very harsh way, and we blame him for things, but he's rather like picking us up. And you feel like it's hurting, but like he's there trying to put you back in order. Like, that's what God does with us. Like his grace is sufficient. Like even if it's hurting, he's trying to put you in a good place. So that's how I got to say gracefully broken.
And what led you to write the book? So we are talking about her book right now, Gracefully Broken, which I feel is something that talks about brokenness, healing, vulnerability, forgiveness, love, and also coming to that place of stillness. And so that's the question to her right now. What led her to write the book, Gracefully Broken? Please, Sister Etel, could you?
What led me to write Gracefully Broken? So Gracefully Broken is a book dedicated to the Holy Spirit and my dad. I lost my dad on my birthday in 2014, which is March 2014. And I was very, very broken. I didn't understand why. Like, even if it will happen, why would it have to be on my birthday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I ended up being broken, mm-hmm. also being hurt by families, mm-hmm. by friends, in other words, people around me. So that led me to write Gracefully Broken. I still have this notebook,
yeah.
journal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be writing letters to God.
Yeah.
And be telling him my emotions. Mm. And it was inspired by Psalms, funny enough, the book of Psalms. David's story inspired me because I was in a season where I was very tearful. And anytime you would go,
yeah.
you would go into the Bible and read Psalms, David would be vulnerable to God, like be vulnerable, tell him his mind. And at the end of the day, he'd be like, anyways, I still can't. Because you're still Lord over my life.
Yeah.
And well, I find it very interesting. So that would be what led me to write Gracefully Broken.
Mm.
Being broken, and I'm a quiet person.
Mm.
Like, very quiet.
Yeah.
I don't really talk to people unless I'm led to.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem more private. Quiet. Mm-hmm. More private, unless I'm led to talk to people.
Amen.
Remember I said I'm being broken. I was bottling up my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who to talk to. So I started writing letters to God. Remember I said 2014.
Yes.
So year by year, I write a bit. So I didn't know that like it was even going to be a book. I was just writing my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I ended up seeing, okay, now the way I'm writing is leading up to healing.
Yes.
So, and God's book was like, you're writing a book. So that's how Gracefully Broken became Gracefully Broken.
Amen. Amen. God's book. And would you say that was the time you became conscious of your own reconciliation ministry? Because, you know, when we talk about ministry, it's not about the being a pastor, being this and this, as we always know. But it's really that we are called to become reconciliation ministers for God. And at a certain point, God will call us to do it. And I just feel like you narrating this story, that God got you to that point. Where, yes, he led you through the brokenness process, he led you through the healing process, and where you had to become vulnerable, where you received forgiveness, but also where you also forgave others, and you started showing love. You know, the people around you were hurting and so on. But in the end, God helped you to show love, forgive, and all these things. And would you say that was then the beginning of you understanding, okay, it's about reconciling also, it's about this ministry or taking on a certain space in the kingdom of God, taking space in the kingdom of God, also related to your gifts, which you also wrote about, it's singing and writing.
I'm very honest.
Yes.
I would say it started in 2013.
Okay.
Because I remember I had this lady who's now my friend texted me on Facebook, I believe.
Yes.
She texted me on Facebook and she was like, she finds me very interesting and inspiring.
Yeah.
And it's at the time for her to speak to me. And I was like, what the hell?
Yes.
So I was like, yeah, it's fine. So it was just a lady who simply was inspired by my short posters under my pictures.
Because
I sometimes write my emotions under my stuff, and then I give glory back to God.
Mm.
So this lady texted me and was telling me that she she's very in a space of being hurt by people, so vulnerable that she wanted to take her life, and where I'd say my reconciling ministry, because like I'd say that God used me to take my time to speak to the lady. For the first time prayed with her.
Yes.
And she felt better. I was there for her.
Yes.
I was there for her, and that's how my reconciling ministry is. I speak to people that are broken.
Mm.
At some point, I wished I was a Christian therapist. I speak to people, mostly to people that are very broken, listen to their type of hurt, and then try to point back my testimony to them,
yeah.
Tell them how God is able to heal them if, mm-hmm. like, they just work with me for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk, and yeah, I try to push them back into a better space.
Amen. Amen. Wow. And
of course, by the leading of the Holy
Spirit. Amen. Yes, that is true. Thank you so much for clarifying again. That was then 2013, you would say, began, right? Which, people are being drawn to your personality and the things you display through the texts you would write on your pictures, for example. You showing authenticity in your way of living, right? And you speak to the people too that are broken. So you would say, like, you feel assigned to people that are broken, people that are hurting, and you also listen to them. And you would call yourself even a therapist, a Christian therapist, right? How do you reach out to them sometimes? Or do you use other mediums to reach out to them?
I have a funny way of reaching out to people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is either, first of all, by my book,
mm-hmm.
and then I just get DMs and people will just be open and then talk to me. The other thing is, on Instagram, I'll be scrolling down my timeline and then the Holy Spirit will be like, speak to this person. Wow. And I'll be like, no.
Mm.
Oh my goodness, no. That's how I just like DM someone and then I'll be talking to them.
Mm.
In a very normal way, like, how are you? How are you feeling today?
Yeah.
One thing that I have come to learn that is very interesting for me, that the Holy Spirit has taught me, is, you know, when you ask someone, how are you?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm fine, right? But in reality, they're not fine.
Mm.
So this is what I'll do. I sit on them, not physically. I stand on my word as in, like, how are you? And I'm like, how are you?
Mm.
And by that, I ask, how are you feeling? Because sometimes when you ask someone, how are you feeling?
Mm.
You step on their toes because they'll be like, what's your business? So
true.
I'm like, how are you?
Very true, yeah.
How are you mentally?
Mm.
And physically? And then some people would open up. I have this dimensions that I use.
Yes.
Which is based on Genesis, the fall of man.
Yes.
The fall of man. And I think it's Genesis 3 from the verse 1.
Okay.
And you know how the serpent tested Eve? In her trust in her doing of
yes
with the Lord. So I'll try to explain it in a very short way.
Mm.
So, like I said, Genesis 3 verse 1. You see the serpent go to the woman and is like, have you, like, did God say they shouldn't eat from the tree of the garden and that you will surely die? Meaning, the enemy is playing with the knowledge of Eve, right? Like, what you know, what did God tell you?
Yeah.
And then when you jump up, you read down to the verse 5, you see that he start playing with her emotions, as in his. And it's like, God doesn't want you that your eyes is open. God doesn't want you to have knowledge of good and evil. Because if God is a good father, he want me to be like him. Why would he hide any good thing from me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So that's where he was playing with the emotions of her.
Mm.
And then from this verse, you see that she started reflecting on what she has been fed on, as in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And her emotions start to play off. And the word of God says that, and when the woman saw that the tree was good to, and was good for food, and that it was pleasing to her eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise,
yes,
because that was the knowledge that she has received from the enemy, she took the fruit and therefore ate it. Meaning, sometimes in life we are there, the enemy comes, play with our knowledge of God, as in, like, if it's a good father, why am I going through this? You end up being very vulnerable and being disappointed by God, the one who is Lord about your life, taking care of you. End up being disappointed by Him. You end up thinking, what is this life? I cry. What is this life? Why am I even here on earth? To take my life. And then, as soon as, like, you're in your thoughts, you start feeding on the lies of the enemy. Right. So this is like a way of how I play with their mind, and then that's open up, and then I end up asking, what do you know about God? Kind of like, write it down, just tell me some words.
Yes.
How do you feel about God? What do you think about God? Like, has it been good in life? And then the next question is, what do you do with it? Like, what do you do with the knowledge you have about God? Because that's one thing I've learned, that, like, if you have all these things, that's literally your power.
Yes.
That's what you have in your hand. Because the Word of God says in Revelation 12, verse 11, that we overcame by the blood, of the Lamb, and by the testimony of His Word, right?
Yes.
And it's literally a question we need to think of, like, what did I overcome of? And the Word of God answers you, by the blood of the Lamb. What is the blood of the Lamb? That's literally your testimony.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what you have in your hand is what repairs you back to God, that that reconciles you back to God. Right?
Yes.
If there's been a shift in your life, just reflecting about His goodness, or like how He has been to you, pushes you back into a normal place. Because why? That's your testimony. You overcame that sample.
Yes.
And even the Word of God tells us that whatever is true, whatever is righteous, whatever is noble, you should think about it and give it glory to God. So it's also something that I also use, like, think about those things. Think about the truth of God. And what you're currently thinking right now, is it like way in? Is it from God? If it's not from God, trust it. So that's some of the keys I use as the end to reconcile the people back to God.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, and also for you go even using the story in Genesis, because that's where all began, with the fall of mankind, separation from God, and then Jesus Christ coming back, or being sent by God to earth to reconcile us to God. And those who have received Him, they are definitely connected again. They share the presence of God. And then unto us is given then this task to also go outside and bring those that are outside, that are not connected to God, to reconcile them back. And indeed, thank you so much for using Genesis 3 to explain to us how even the enemy manipulates our mind, separates us, making us to question God. Meanwhile, when we have the testimony, when we've experienced God, we know that actually we can run with it. We can always stick to it and hold on to it, because that is how God has revealed Himself to us, and He will continue to do the same. He does not want to be far from us. He wants to be very close. Thank you so much. But you know, people that hurt, people that are broken, sometimes it can be very difficult to make them see the truth, to make them see the reality. So I would like you to talk about the challenges you face while reconciling people, to those that are like you, your target group, to God. And how does the Holy Spirit help you and lead you in this?
Even thinking of it, I think I'm just going to use my sister as an example. Because my sister has been through many challenges. And I think in the last 2 years, she has been in a space of a very difficult time. And not seeing the goodness of God. Why? Because she's broken, she's vulnerable, she's not seeing the hand of God. But I think that's one thing that we love to see in our hard times, to see the goodness of God. So I'd say that what I used to do, or what I still do with her, is that we sit down, we talk about where it's hurting. Because if you don't tell me where it's hurting, that's where we use, like, my example from the beginning.
Yes.
I wouldn't know how to help you heal your wound or cover your wound. So when we sit down, we talk about it. Okay, I've seen the wound. I've seen how deep it is.
Yes.
And one thing I love telling her is that God is more closer to her than anyone else in this world. Because the word of God even says it, that God is closer to the brokenhearted, the spirit that is apparently quenched or despised, right? Because they think that they're far from God. That's what also happened in the garden when we continue to read Genesis 3.
Yes.
That they believe that they're far from God, but God was more closer than ever to them. Even though they thought that the Spirit of God has left them, the Word of God says that He came and clothed them.
Mm.
Like, how much more now if you're broken and you're vulnerable? Like, He comes to surround you more than ever. Like I said, we look at the wound, we look what medicine we need to deal with.
Yes.
The Word of God, and what is the what is behind the spirit we need to deal with. If it's the spirit of fear, you know, and the spirit of fear is mostly the root of something, and then it ends up showing up the fruits of rejection, disappointment, and stuff. So mostly the Holy Spirit has just reminded me that we mostly deal with the root of the spirit of fear, and then we come up with something.
Amen.
I probably answered your question.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. Just look into the roots through the help of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you so much, because from what I've heard is that you also show patience. It's not easy to, you know, tackle all this or to stick to one person and to see that person transformed, because it will definitely take time, but God also wants us to display the fruits of the Spirit through patience, being self-controlled, and the different fruits that are there, showing love, right? And you doing this helps you definitely to continue bringing those around you, your target group, sticking to them, bringing them to God. And so if you would, to wrap everything up, if you would say, we know the nine fruits of the Spirit, I guess we should, I can memorize all of them. We have joy, we have love, we have patience, self-control, we have the fruit of kindness, goodness, and also, I'll just quickly open Galatians 5 verse 23, where we'll find those fruits. But before then, before reading the fruits, which one of those fruits have really helped you to, in the process of trying to reconcile others, the brokenhearted, to God?
If I'm honest, I'll say patience and long suffering.
Amen.
Because, I think those are the two things. But to be honest, I think it's more patience, because you know, when you have patience, it reflects love.
Yeah.
It reflects your kindness. It reflects your goodness. It reflects your joy.
Yes.
Because, like, that's something I think we sometimes don't understand. It even disciplines you to have self-control. Because sometimes you're in this phase where you're like, I could shake this person. But patience is telling you, you're kind.
Yes.
Your love, your self-control, like, it reflects you back to God. And I think this is something that sometimes we forget in our evangelism. After, like, we go out, we speak to people, they've listened to us. Yeah, we've planted the seed, of course, in them.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't follow up.
Yeah.
We don't follow up, and then we say we have reconciled back to God, are still dealing with the things. It's not easy to be in faith, you know?
Yes.
I think that I'll say that we sometimes deceive people because we come and tell them our story, our testimony. It sounds very perfect. Like, sit down with that person and tell them, even though this shoes is nice to wear, right, it looks lovely on your feet, as the Word of God says that the shoes of the gospel, it says how lovely are the feet of men that bring good news, right?
Yes.
It looks lovely, but listen, sometimes when you wear your shoes for a very long time, it hurts.
Yes.
Sometimes your feet feels very warm and you need to take your shoes off to get something. That's where, like, you go into a space and you're like, Holy Spirit, okay, my feet is hurting.
Yes.
Now, please, give me some time to breathe. Like, breathe upon me, breathe in me.
Amen.
Give me era of space to refresh myself. And I think that's something we need to learn. We need to learn, like, to be patient and follow up on the people that we have reconciled with. So I'll say mine is patient.
Patience. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, I'll just quickly summarize everything. Once we have received our testimony and we have the breakthrough in Christ, we are sent out to go and bring others to Christ, to God, making them understand that in God that they will find their wholeness. Even though they are broken, they can be healed. It takes vulnerability, it takes being vulnerable, speaking up, and also it takes the help of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit to help us even hold on to the different groups we have been assigned to. And yeah, God wants to use us all. He wants to use even the ones that are now, that are in the season of brokenness, that are broken, and that are coming, you are coming out of it, that season. And God wants to use you as a living testimony to go out there as well, show love, your kindness, displaying the fruits of the Spirit and bringing others into the kingdom of God. Thank you so much, Sister Etta, for taking the time to share with us your testimony and the message. We believe God is definitely using you and they will continue to use you by His grace. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you too. I'm very honored to have been chosen to have the chance to speak on here.
Thank you.
And I pray and blesses everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You have just listened to the very first episode of the Chosen Gen series, and we're glad you listened in. If you have been blessed, we encourage you to share this episode and the upcoming episodes with your friends, your families, and with those around you. Use it to be a blessing. And the link to our guest speaker's information you will find in the description box. Also, the link to her book, Gracefully Broken. We encourage you, get one, and be blessed. Until next time, bye.